047, The Best Is Yet To Come, by Jolie, on the 8th of July, 2012.
Hallelujah. It's good to see everyone. I want to congratulate you for making it to church today. Can you appreciate yourself for coming today? Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we don't realize that people put a lot of effort to come on a Sunday morning services. Hallelujah. Sometimes people have to go through a lot just to be in church. It might be financial challenges. It might be just the health condition. Sometimes you are just so poor. You feel so weak. You just say, you know what, I'll give it a miss today. Sometimes it might be the weather. It's not supposed to happen in summer, but unfortunately it does happen sometimes. Thank you, sir. During summertime, sometimes it's rain and you just can't go to church. I've realized that many times the devil actually tried to stop us coming to church on a Sunday morning. Yeah. And because you made it today, I'm glad you made it today. Amen. May the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Because, you know, coming to church, not only it's showing God that we love Him, but we are also obeying a commandment. Yeah. You know, it's about the few things in the Bible where the Lord said, you should honor this.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Some of the things the Lord said you should honor is, you should honor the name of God. You should honor the day of God on a Sunday. I mean, on a Sabbath. You should honor your father and your mother. You should honor the elderly. You should honor marriage. You should honor your spiritual leaders. And you should honor authorities. Those are the few things that God has emphasized in the Bible. And says, I want you to honor this. I want you to do all you can to show respect and dedication to it. So because you came today, I'm glad you came. And I know the Lord will bless you because you've obeyed a commandment from God. Hallelujah. And by coming here as well, we are fellowshipping. We are encouraging each other. For me, Sunday is like a party. It's a celebrity. It's a festivity where we come and we just appreciate God. We forget about our situation. And we just say, this is how we overcome. We come together, we sing the goodness of God. Whatever happened in our life, we just come and we sing the goodness of God. We say to the devil, devil, I'm not going to listen to you. This is the day for me to rejoice. This is a day for me to praise the Lord. This is a day for me to jump and to shout because my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. May the Lord be blessed. I want to share with you a few things in the book of John, chapter 2. Something that the Lord has put in my mind during the week as I was praying and looking for God to speak to me. And I'm just blessed that some of the things I was about to say, Bill mentioned some of the things. God bless you. He mentioned about being a new creation. Bishop mentioned some of the things about being renewed, just coming to God and being filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about the miracle that happened at Cana, changing water into wine. Shall we pray first? Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you that you've enabled us to come to church today to give you praise. Father, we do it because we love you. And because we appreciate each other. And because we want to be in a place where we can together lift our eyes and look at your throne. And just rejoice in your presence. And we know that as we are in your presence, Lord, you're taking care of us. For those who are struggling in some area in their life, Father, you're taking care of them. Father, for those who are not feeling strong in their body, your spirit is moving around them in the name of Jesus. For those who are struggling with a particular sin in their life, they're struggling to just go to that place of holiness. Father, you provide strength in the name of Jesus. For those who are going through oppression, Father, you are going to give them peace because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. John chapter 2. I'll be reading from the first verse until verse 11. Okay, are we ready? Shall I begin? On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciple had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servant, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servant, "Fill the jar with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from. Through the servant who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper one, after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." I repeat, "But you have saved the best till now." The best is still to come. Amen. "But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He does reveal his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Amen. Wonderful story. Wonderful miracle. This is the very first miracle in the New Testament. And I love what the book of John call it. The book of John call it sign. John doesn't say miracle. He says sign. Because a sign is supposed to give us a message. When you're driving and you see a sign, it gives you a message. The book of John is a bit more philosophical. Yeah. He doesn't just share the story. He shares a message beyond the story. Amen. And here is a great message that John is sharing with us. He gives a sign. This is something with a deep meaning. The very first miracle. I'll be talking about 4 points in this message, and I'll try to be as brief as possible. I'll be talking about what is the first miracle. I'll be talking secondly about inviting Jesus. Then I'll be talking about what it is between you and me, as Mary, as Jesus put it to Mary. And finally, the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. The first miracle. You know, because this is the very first account of a miracle in the New Testament, it does provide us with the principle that God used for the rest of the miracles. This is the foundation that is put to show us what is God's principle. It is the miracle of transformation. From water into wine. That's the very important message that John is giving. Yeah. Transformation. Hallelujah. Transformation. From water into wine. Don't worry, we'll be not talking about boozing today. Hallelujah. We'll be talking about spiritual things. From water into wine. Water that was used for purification. That was a water used in religious ritual. That was the law. That was where people were coming to put their guilt. Jesus came to transform from the guilt to the grace. From the law to the grace. Hallelujah. From water to wine. It comes from a religious point of view, and it comes to free people to give the Spirit. And that's what the world is all about. It's about the Spirit, the freedom to enjoy in God's presence. Hallelujah. It is a story of a new creation. Yeah. As Bill put it in 2 Corinthians 5:17, one person is in law, he becomes a new creation. Yeah. The whole thing says God. Everything is new. Hallelujah. That's the greatest miracle ever. Amen. The very great miracle in the Bible is the miracle of transformation. Yeah. It's for somebody to come from the law of death, which is religion, to the law of life, which is the Holy Spirit. Being free to serve and to enjoy in God's presence. Hallelujah. That's the very important thing. I want to tell you, anything you do for God, if you don't start by this very first miracle of new birth, whatever you do for God is pointless. You need to begin by giving your life to Jesus. You need to begin by becoming a new creation. You need to begin by letting God transform you so you can become a new person. Anything else doesn't matter. What really matters is for you to become a new creation. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I've always said it. It's like God has formed us. He has formed a human being. Then, because of sin, we have been deformed. And once we've been deformed, we are trying to get our shape back. We're trying through different things, and religion is one of them. We're trying through religion to get ourselves back to form, but we're struggling. And that was the law. The law was pushing us to say, you need to get back to shape. You are out of shape, but we were trying very hard without getting there. And society has come with different way of trying to reform us through values, through morality, through a lot of things, trying to reform. But it's not working. What we need is transformation. Amen. The one who formed us can transform us. Amen. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. That's why we call it being born of the Spirit. Amen. It is the Holy Spirit that comes inside you and starts transforming you. So what is a new creation? A new creation, or a new birth, as I can say, is an activity or a transformation that is done by the Holy Spirit in the life of whoever believes in Jesus. Yeah. When you believe in Jesus, you allow the Holy Spirit to come and transform you. So you can become a new person. Hallelujah. A new person. I had a friend once. He made me laugh. He met one of his old friends. They used to be in high school. And that person said, oh, I recognize you. We used to be in high school. He said, I don't think so. He said, yeah, I know it's you. He said, no, it's not me. He said, no, it's you. We used to be in high school together. He said, no, the person you knew is long gone. He was living in this address, but he's long gone. This is a new tenant in this house now. I'm a new creation. I'm a new person. Hallelujah. That's the most important things. That's the greatest miracle. The greatest sign. It's not, first of all, about, you know, doing great thing, a miracle or financial miracle or whatever. It is about new birth, becoming a Christian from water into wine. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage you today. Maybe you come to church, you are used to church. You know how to do church things. You grown up into church things. But if you have never been transformed, you are away from God. It doesn't matter how much time you spend in church. It doesn't matter how long you read your Bible. You need to go into that place and say, God, transform me. I'm sick of being myself. I'm trying hard, but I can't. I'm just laying myself into you. Do something in my life. Hallelujah. I remember when I gave my life to Jesus, and that was the best decision I've ever made in my life. Hallelujah. That was the best decision. I made a lot of decisions in my life, right and wrong, but that one, I'll never regret it, because I became a new person. Hallelujah. And I pray that the Lord changes you. If you've never been through that, if you don't know what I'm talking about, and you think, what is new birth? You are the same person. Somebody who knew you long ago need to testify that you are a new person. If people cannot tell that you've changed, something is wrong. Hallelujah. If people cannot tell that something has happened to you, that's wrong. Especially people in your closest people to you, in your family, they need to say, yeah, since he started going to that church, something happened to him. We can acknowledge that. If it never happened to you, then you need to review what really is God for you. What really is, do you have a relationship with God? Hallelujah. They always say, if you want to find out if a cat has really changed, you need to ask a mouse. The mouse can say, yeah, it's changed. It's changed. If the mouse cannot say that you have changed, something's wrong. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Hallelujah. But how this miracle happened? It happened because Jesus was invited.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
For water to be turned into wine, it took an invitation, Jesus to come. You know, what was happening, it was a marriage, a wedding party. And apparently, in the Middle East, in that time, and I suspect many places now, still nowadays, they can do a wedding party for at least 7 days. It goes on and goes on. I've heard in India, do you know about it? In India, apparently, marriage can last 2-3 weeks. So it was like a very long party. And it was very important to put on a very good party and not to deceive people. I don't know if you have organized a party, a wedding party especially. It takes a lot. You prepare the dress. You prepare the venue, you prepare the drink, but everything needs to be spot on. So that was a very massive party going on of a marriage. And for some reason, they invited Jesus to that party. And that act of inviting Jesus was crucial. That's what made the difference for the success of that wedding. I want to bring you back to the very first marriage in the Old Testament. You remember that marriage in the Garden of Eden? In the Garden of Eden, the Bible says Adam and Eve was there, but they invited somebody. You know who they invited? The devil. The devil tried to get into their marriage. They invited him. And that created a lot of trouble, isn't it? It brought misery because they invited the wrong person. They invited somebody who came with the wrong counsel. But this is the very first account of marriage in the New Testament. But here, the right person is invited in the party. The right person is invited. Jesus, the Son of God. Hallelujah. I want to tell you in one thing. If you have invited Jesus in your life, if you have invited Jesus in your business, you have invited Jesus in your marriage, you have invited Jesus in your family, you have made the right decision. You are in the right path. Do not worry about what you see. Even if the wine ran out, don't worry. The best is still yet to come. Because Jesus is part of your marriage. Is part of your business. Is part of your family. Hallelujah. This is what happened. They invited Jesus to come and go along with them. The people you are inviting in your life will play a part for in your destiny. You know that. The people you are inviting in your life, they will affect your destiny. That's why the Bible says we should always try to choose who to be around. As a Christian, we should know who we should bring in our life. Hallelujah. The Bible says about Abraham. Abraham had a vision. God gave him a vision. God said, go to that land. I will bless you. I will multiply you. And Abraham was walking to his destiny, but he brought with him his nephew, Lot. He said, I love you so much. I want you to come with me. But you know what happened? They started to argue between them. And Abraham started to lose the direction. Then one day he stopped himself. He said, Lord, I love you very much. But when it comes to my destiny, I have to be very careful. Choose where you want to go. He understood that he invited the wrong person to go with him. Hallelujah. The people you are inviting in your life, the people you're listening to, they will affect your destiny. That's why we need to be choosy as Christians. We need to know what to listen to, what to bring in our life. Hallelujah. And Jesus was invited. And that made a difference for this miracle to happen. But I was wondering myself, at that time, Jesus wasn't famous yet. He hasn't performed any miracle yet. We are in John chapter 2. In John chapter 2, barely no one knows Jesus. Actually, the people who know about his special assignment are only Mary, Joseph, and probably the shepherd who are not around, and the wise men who are not around. Because those are the people who did listen to the voice of an angel telling them about how special this little boy will be. But no one in Galilee, no one in Cana, knew how important Jesus was. He was just a carpenter. I don't know what was the relationship. Who invited Jesus? Was it Mary was invited and then they brought Jesus? I don't know. But what is sure is that Jesus wasn't really famous yet. But yet, he was invited. Brother, you know, sometimes we need to appreciate people. We don't have to be like the world. The world, they give you value according to what you are. According to how great your name is. They give you consideration because of how you appear to be. But as Christian, the Bible says we should not behave like that. We should consider people, even if they seem to be not very important. Hallelujah. Jack talked about not doing favoritism in church. He talked about people who have money and they give them the first seat in the church. You remember that verse in the Bible? Because they appear to be great. They say, oh, you come and sit in front. That's wrong. We should not discriminate because some people seem to have more influence than the other. By doing so, we are working against the principle of God. Because the people who will be your blessing sometimes are the people you are neglecting. Hallelujah. There is one judge in the Bible. I think his name was Jehu. When he was born, he was born from how do you call that? He was a son of, he was, comment appelle bâtard? Yeah, he was born from an illegal kind of illegitimate relationship, and they never considered him. They took him away from town. They never considered him, but as he went away, he became a very, very strong warrior. He started fighting. He became very strong. And later on, Israel was attacked by the enemy. And they started to look for a savior. And only Jehu could save them. But they did neglect him. Hallelujah. Sometimes your blessing will come not in a way that is massive. Actually, God works in different way. He works in a way, very humble way, in a way you will not imagine. David was the chosen king, but David was a little boy in his family. He was actually, even when the prophet came to choose the king, he asked for the family, where are your sons? They brought all the sons, but they never brought David because he was a little boy. He was so weak. And they misunderstood, estimated the grace of God. Hallelujah. As Christian, we should always appreciate people, regardless of how they are, regardless of how much money they have, regardless of what they have and what they don't have, because you don't know what God can do in their life. Amen. You don't know what the future can be for that person. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I've noticed that when I was in school, there is some people I was sitting with them. They came from very poor background. They struggled even just to come in class. And sometimes you don't notice them. But 10 years later, 20 years later, they might become your boss. You go into a job interview and you recognize the boy. You say, wow, I used to be in the same class with this boy. And he's now your boss. Hallelujah. What a person is today, you don't know what he can be tomorrow. Because God is able to transform things. Water can change into wine at any time. Hallelujah. Inviting Jesus is very important. But as we invite Jesus, we also learn to consider other people, to open doors for other people, to appreciate our brother and our sister, to appreciate those who are less fortunate than we are, to appreciate those who know little than us. Hallelujah. Sometimes you have somebody who doesn't know many things about God. He just born again. He doesn't know many things about God. He's still a baby. You have to give him the same appreciation. He's not less loved by God. He's not less loved by God. It doesn't matter if you've done 20 years, 40 years, 50 years in the Lord. The person who done 1 day or 2 days is not less loved by God. God can still use it in a mighty way. Hallelujah. Always appreciate what God has given to other people. That's very important. That's why I love John the Baptist. John the Baptist was actually the man in town. Everyone was rushing out to John the Baptist. Everyone was going to him because he was the prophet. But then he recognized the grace of God in Jesus. He says, you know what? I will open the door for him because God is with him. I will open the door. That's very difficult. Can you imagine? It's very challenging. Everybody was talking about John the Baptist. But the day he opened the door for Jesus, he introduced Jesus to the world. You know what happened? The crowd started to follow Jesus. Even some of John Baptist's disciples, they ran away from him and they started to follow Jesus. And when people came to John the Baptist, they say, your cousin, the one you introduced here, is baptizing on the other side. And everybody's going there. He says, yeah, let him grow and let me diminish. Hallelujah. Let him grow. That's humility. And that's what we need to practice if we ever want to see the miracle happening in our life. Hallelujah. But as Jesus was invited, you know what? Jesus is a gentleman. He accepted the invitation. Hallelujah. He accepted the invitation. I want to remind you, Lord, if you invite Jesus, he will come. He will come to your party. Amen. He will come to your business. He will come to your family. If you invite him, he will come. Hallelujah. Amen. First of all, Jesus loves festivity. He loves parties. Hallelujah. When you read the Bible, you'll see most of the parables talk about a kind of festivity in heaven. They say, the kingdom of God is like a supper. The kingdom of God is like a party. The Lord wants your happiness. He wants you to be happy. Hallelujah. He cares about your happiness. You know, sometimes we have an idea of God being there just to oppress us, just to take us through difficult times. I want to confirm you, God cares about your happiness. Actually, he will do everything to make sure that you are happy. The Bible says in John 15, verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. He wants your joy to be completed. The Bible says again in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plan to prosper you and not to harm you. Plan to give you hope and a future. God wants your happiness. That's why when you open the door to Him, He will turn up. When you invite Him, He will come down. Hallelujah. When you say, Lord, I want you to be part of this thing I'm starting. I'm starting this and I want you to be part of it. He will be there because He cares about your happiness. Hallelujah. And the Lord came. He's a gentleman. He came to the party. As you develop the habit of inviting Jesus, He will also invite you one day to His own party. Amen. One day, He will invite you to His own party. Revelation 19 verse 9 say, Blessed those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. As you open up to the Lord, the Bible says, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. If somebody hear my voice and open, I will come. As you open the door and He come to your party, one day you will receive an invitation at the door. The posts will drop an invitation and say, you are invited to the wedding party in heaven. Hallelujah. There is a name. There is a seat up there with your name. You are invited. You are a special guest. A dress has been prepared for you. A white dress has been prepared for you with a ring on your finger. Hallelujah. A little crown has been prepared for you. You are a special guest. Why? Because you have opened the door for the Lord. Because you have invited Him in your life. Hallelujah. Is somebody being blessed today?
Amen.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And as Jesus went to the party, music was there, people dancing. I suspect it was African dance, you know. They were dancing and jumping. And then at some point, the wine finished. No more party. When the wine finished, that's it. People will start leaving. There's no more joy. That's a tragedy. That's a tragedy for anyone organizing a party. No more wine. Maybe there is no more wine in your life. Maybe that fire, that flavor has gone. I don't know. Maybe it is in your relationship with God. There seems to be no more life. Maybe it is in your marriage. There seems to be no more wine. Maybe it is in your financial situation. When you open your bank account, no more wine. Hallelujah. I don't know. Maybe there is no more wine in one aspect of your life. There is no more party going on. There is no more joy happening. I want to tell you, the best is still to come. Hallelujah. The best is still to come. It's happened time to time that the wine seems to finish. But the wine finish because God has a better wine for you.
Amen.
He wants you to finish this one first because He has a better one for you. He has a further things to give you. He wants you to call, to reach out to your limit and to cry out to Him. Then He will open the gate of heaven for you to receive the true wine. He called it the new wine. The wine of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That was the miracle that happened. No more wine, no more party. And then suddenly, a miracle happened. Water was changed into wine. And the party restarted. But remember, for this to happen, it took Mary to intervene. Mary had to step in. And she said, Lord, they have no more wine. I love that. That's a very powerful prayer, spirit, intercession, praying. You know, sometimes it's very easy for us to criticize those who have no more wine. It's very easy to say, oh, what a party here. I'm bored to death. Mary didn't do that. She didn't say, ah, there's nothing going on here. What she said was, Lord, they need wine.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sometimes we develop easily that habit of judging and criticizing people who get it wrong. People whose party has finished. We're saying, oh, over there is nothing going there. It's good, but as a Christian, what we should do is say, Lord, they need wine.
Amen.
We need to develop that intercession, that spirit of prayer. Because as Christians, we knew that those things will happen. When we see things happening around us, when we see things happening in churches, in many churches, there is no more wine. It's just flesh. It's just people trying to be, you know, busy making money and doing stuff. But when we see that, we should go to our knees and say, Lord, they need wine. You told us about this, Lord, and I see it now happening. I see it happening in America. I see it happening in Africa. I see it happening in Sheffield. Lord, I see it happening. Please do something for them.
Hallelujah.
That's the only way revival come back. Revival doesn't come when we sit and start mourning about what goes wrong. Revival starts when we make a stand and we say, Lord, send your spirits. Revive us again. Renew us again. Do something about this church. Do something about this nation. Do something about this city. Do something about this generation. This is how revival comes back. Hallelujah. If you care, pray. If you care, pray. Don't just judge. Don't just criticize. Pray. Hallelujah. That's the way for the miracle to happen. And as Mary prayed, Jesus said, woman, what is there between you and me? You know, if it was an African mother, she would just go there and give him a slap. Woman, what is there between you and me? Hallelujah. I was speaking with somebody, he said something very interesting. He said, in Africa, most of kids, they are grow up in a way that they didn't be sure how to claim their right. It seems as they don't know how to claim their right. If you claim your right, you have a slap. Yeah. You cannot come in the house, dad is watching news, and you change, you put X Factor. That will not happen. That will not happen. You can be playing football and you are just about to take a penalty. And mom just say, go back at the house. That's it. That's the end of it. You just have to say, mate, I'm sorry, I've got to go. You cannot argue. Because if you argue, you know what will come your way. Hallelujah. In fact, this sentence might appear to be rude, isn't it? What it is there between you and me? What it is there between you and me? Woman, what is there between you and me? It seems to be, oh, a bit rude. But actually, it's a very powerful sentence. Actually, Jesus was putting back the concept of relationship. What relationship do you have with me so I can intervene? Hallelujah. Mary say, do something. And Jesus say, what relationship do you have with me? Because my time has not yet come. But don't worry about the time. If we have a strong relationship, I can make an exception for you. Time doesn't matter anymore. Circumstance doesn't matter anymore. Relationship is the key. Hallelujah. Don't worry about time. Don't worry about circumstance. Sometimes time works against you. Sometimes circumstance works against you. But if you keep on focusing on your relationship with God, a miracle will happen. Because time and circumstance are in the hand of the Lord. And He can shape it and change it whenever He wants.
Yes. Yeah.
Hallelujah. What is there between you and me? What is your relationship with God? As we step in prayer for revival, as we step in prayer to ask God to do something in our life, we need to question our relationship with God. How are we behaving with the Lord? Hallelujah. And you will notice that the relationship that was between Jesus and Mary was a partnership relationship. Mary was partner with Jesus in His ministry. Because you remember, when He was born, Mary was already prepared by the angel about how special this boy will be. And then later on, when He went to present Jesus at the temple, Simeon the prophet also told Him how special His ministry will be. So Mary was very well aware of Jesus' ministry. He knew what Jesus was able to do. And when things was going wrong, she could just step in and say, do something. I can tell you, this is our mission as Christians. We are prepared. We know exactly God's vision and God's plan for this generation. We know that we are at the end of time. We know the plan of God for this generation. We can step in prayer and say to the Lord, Lord, we want to be partner with You. We want to be involved in this business. We want to be involved in what You are doing. Because what Mary did actually, she did get involved into the matter. And that's what we need to do. We cannot just labor. We need to get more involvement. We need to step in and be partner with God. Partner with God. Hallelujah. Partner in everything God is doing. We need to invest our time, our relationship, our money, our wealth. We need to invest everything we have to partner with God, to achieve things for this world, to see water being changed into wine, to see the release of the Holy Spirit into this generation. And then we can say, Maranatha, come, O Lord. Hallelujah. That's our mission as Christians. As we start becoming partner with God, our problem becomes God's problem. God says, whoever touch your eyes, touch my eyes. So when you become a partner with God, whatever your business, become God's business. This is our partnership work. Hallelujah. This is our partnership work. You know, I don't know whether I shared that story here, but in ancient time, during it's probably in the Old Testament, there used to be covenant between different tribes. Let's say if I belong to a tribe where most people come from, they are farmers, okay? They are farmers. They cannot go to battle, but they are very good in planting and doing stuff. When the enemy attacks, my tribe cannot defend themselves because they are just farmers. And the Philistine will come and will take everything. But there might be another tribe there. They are not really good with farming, but they are very warrior soldiers. Yeah. So what was happening, the two leaders of both tribes, of both clans, will meet up and make an agreement. They'll say, we want to become partner, so that my food is your food. When we grow things, you go to war, go to battle, don't worry about food. When you come back, whatever we have planted is yours. We share it. In the same way, whatever is our struggle, our enemies become your enemy. So you might be fending someone who's coming from a farming background, who's not strong. Do not provoke him, because you don't know who he's partnering with. Do you getting me? You don't know who's his partner. He might seem weak. He might seem very negligible, but he's in partnership with somebody else. And that's the concept of our relationship with God. Actually, God was looking to make a covenant with the human race. He was looking to come to that agreement. But No one was found able to do that agreement. But he did it through Jesus Christ. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, as human beings, we became in partnership with God. Whoever step in the Lord Jesus are in agreement with God. So therefore, whoever touches you, touches God. Whatever struggle you are having become God's struggle. God will have to deal with it. Hallelujah. Therefore, we might seem weak, but we are strong. Because beyond us, we have somebody very strong. We might seem very poor, but we are rich. Because in us dwell the King of Kings. The Bible says, the one who is in you is greater than anyone else. Hallelujah. We are in partnership with God. And we need to use it to bring revival in this world. Hallelujah. And as it's happened, verse 10 says, I want to read it with you. Verse 10. Verse 10 says, then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice one first, and then the cheaper. And then the cheaper one after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best until now. Amen. Hallelujah. After they drunk the new wine, they've noticed the difference. Then they say, normally, everyone brings the cheaper, the best wine. And when the party is about to finish, you can release the cheaper one. But you've saved the best until the end. I just want to remind you that God is saving the best for you. Amen. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Forget about your failure of the past. That was the cheaper wine. Forget about all the mistakes you've done in the past. Hallelujah. Bill mentioned about some of the mistakes we did in the past. Forget about that. The best is yet to come. Amen. Because God is able to do a miracle in your life. Yeah. And to bring the new wine. Yeah. What you should have done in 10 years, you can do it in 1 year. Amen. Hallelujah. He can give you the strength of an eagle. You will fly and never be stopped. You'll walk and never be tired. You can run faster than the Charles. Because God walks beyond time and circumstance. Hallelujah. He can restore what you have lost. He can restore what you have lost. The new wine. The miracle of the new wine. The Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That's the Spirit of restoration. Everything that was missing in the past, God can give it to you. God can give it to you. Hallelujah. Forget about the past. You know, in the language of faith, it is today the day of salvation. The day of salvation is today. Today is my day. Today is my day of salvation. I don't care about what I did yesterday. Lord, because I'm here and you are there, today is my day. I can be saved today. I need a new one today. Hallelujah. God always begins with the less and finish with the more. He begins with the less, finish with the more. Hallelujah. The less glorious to the more glorious. Remember, he started with Adam and finished with Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. He started with Israel as a nation. He finished with the church as we are today. More glorious. Hallelujah. The bride. He started with Saul, finished with David. He started with Ishmael, the son according to the flesh, and finished with Isaac, the son according to the promise. He started with the old covenant, finished with the new covenant. He started with the law, is finishing with grace. Hallelujah. That's the way the master operates. The glory of the second house will be greater than the one of the second, of the previous one. Hallelujah. This is what the Lord can do. The best is yet to come. If the one of your life has drawn up, don't worry. God is busy in the kitchen preparing a new one for you. He's very busy mixing up things. Hallelujah. And he knows what quality of one you really need to have your life back to you, to have your health back to you, to have your finance back to you, to have your family back in shape. God knows what one you need. Do not worry. Just go into him and say, Lord, do something in my life. But what you have to do is to care about your relationship with God. And I want to finish here. For that miracle to happen, God had to use jars. There's been jars that was there, water jars, used for purification. Those jars were not fit to serve at tables. Those were just used outside for purification, for people to drop their sin. It was of very less value. But those are the jars that the Lord filled and then used them to bring wine. We need to become those jars. We might be negligible, but God will use us for greater things. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for noble purpose and some for ignoble purpose. If a man cleans himself from litter, he will be an instrument for noble purpose, made holy, useful to the master, and prepare to do any good work. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 20 to 21. You might be a water jars of very cheap value, but it doesn't matter to God. What really matters to God, are you ready to receive?
Amen.
Are you ready to receive? Are you ready to be filled? Do you want to be filled? As Bishop put it today, do you want to see? What do you want me to do for you? You need to show your desire. You need to show the will. You need to come to the Lord and say, give me that water. The Bible says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Are you thirsty of the Lord? Do you really need to drink from the source of life? Do you really need to be filled with the Spirit? And that's the only condition for miracle to happen. Just to open up your heart, to open up your spirit, and to say to the Lord, yes, I want to be filled. I want to become useful to bring joy to people. Useful to bring miracle to people. I want to be used for other people's salvation. I want to be used for other people's transformation. I want to be used to keep the party going on. I want to be used to bring joy to the nation. Just use me as I am, in Jesus' mighty name. And if today this is your prayer, can you just bow down your head and start praying to the Lord? If this is your prayer, just say it again to the Lord. Just say to the Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me, Lord. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to be filled with your Spirit. Hallelujah. Romanda yashakurubu yabaraka. Go ahead. Pray to the Lord. Just express your desire. If this is your desire, express it to the Lord. The Lord can fill you right now. He can touch you right now. Maybe you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Just go ahead and pray. Say to the Lord, Lord, touch me in a special way. I just want to be so full of you. I just want to be so full of your presence. I just want to be filled. I need the fullness of your Holy Spirit. I need a divine touch from you to enable me to bring peace, joy to the nation. Just start praying now. Go ahead, pray. Ramando yabashakarabai. Romo shikoroto yabarasa yabababa. Rende yebere seka yabarabasokoro shikabababa. Rondo roboro shikabaraba yabarasa kabarama se yabarabakoro shikabababa. Rende riba ya baraba sokorondo ya mara shekeri ya baraba. Rondo yoboro shika baraba ya barasaka barasaya. Holy Spirit, touch my life, touch my life, touch my life. You know how I need you, Holy Spirit. I need to be transformed by you. I need to be changed and renewed by you. I need to go to that place of confidence where I can start being useful to God. I just want to be partner with God. I want to be useful. I want to be an instrument for God. Just enable me to be that way. In the name of Jesus. Father, you know my weaknesses. Lord, you know where I'm struggling. I just need that divine touch from you. Holy Spirit, has dropped that anointing unto me. Lay your hand upon my head and fill me with your fire. Fill me with your fire. May the wine of the Spirit. Oh, Rama Yasherebe Yabara Sakaba. Ibara Sokoroto Yabaraba Yabashiri. Rondo Meshikorio Sokorata Yabarabasai. Riberebe Yabara Sataria Bakoro Sokorio Boshikababa. Renderia Bakoro Sotorio Borobo Shikabababa. Yemanda sakabaraba yakarashiki. Hallelujah. 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 Guru shikabaraka. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we're closing, I just feel like if somebody feel like he need to be particularly touched by the Holy Spirit, if you need, you feel like there is a particular area in your life that need to be renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit, I just want you by faith to make a stand and just to stand up. If you just desire right now, and you just want God to anoint you in a special way. As the Bible says, do not be drunk, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. As you just need that wine, that special wine, I just want you to stand up where you are. And I will call Bishop to pray for the church. Wherever you are, if you just feel, Lord, I so need to be touched. by the Holy Spirit. I so need to be visited by the Holy Spirit. Roma shikoroto ya barabasai. Ire bakantaria makorosuko. Roba shikorokotorio boshikabara. Renda masaka bakoroko. Roba ya barasaka. Ibarakanta. May I call Bishop Andrew to do a prayer for the church? Shekura baya sarabaka. Yabara shikuruko yabara santi. Hiri yabakara santi.
Father God, would you stand in your presence?
Mm.
Father, we just thirst.
Yeah.
We thirst for you, O God. For
yes.
A fresh anointing.
Yes, Lord.
For a fresh infilling of your Spirit, O God.
Yes.
Lord, to just touch and renew areas in our own lives, Father.
Mm.
Lord, we seek a fresh anointing. Lord, you said you would pour out upon us.
Yes.
And that, Lord, the latter shall be greater than the former.
Amen.
And Father, we reach out to you right now and we just call upon
Jesus
you, Father,
name.
And we pray for each individual that has stood before you.
You
see the desires within our hearts. You see the desires of our spirit,
yes,
O God, to be
Lord.
Filled, to be refreshed,
just
to be renewed, O God, to be infused, to be, O God, to be ready to move in your presence and to move by your Spirit, O God, as you move upon us. Father, I pray for a fresh anointing for each and every one of us, O God. The Lord, there shall be a fresh outpouring, a quickening, O Father. The Lord, as we are touched by your Spirit and as we are filled, O God, by that new wine. Father, that, Lord, we shall be vessels that would carry that new wine. And Lord, we shall feel that anointing and that presence coming upon us. And Father, we shall release that wine. We shall release the joy. We shall release the blessings of the Spirit. We shall receive the life of the Spirit into the lives of others, Father. The Lord, signs, wonders shall be done, O God.
Yes,
that
Lord.
Jesus will be magnified and glorified.
Lord.
That the presence of the Son of God
yes,
should be seen
Lord.
In the earth. Father, that the power and the glory
release
of
your
our Lord
power.
Jesus, Lord, should be seen.
Release your power,
Lord. That his joy and the power
release
of the
your
Spirit
power,
should be
Lord.
Seen, Lord. Let the power of
release
God
your
flow
power, Lord.
From each and every one of us, O God. Let it flow, O God. Let the power be there that demonstrates the power of a risen Lord, an ascended Lord, a glorious Savior. Lord, we just worship you now.
Mm.
And we just, Lord, ask that your presence would just come with your Spirit
Jesus
upon us.
Name.
Fresh wine, new wine, oh God, infuse us for your glory.
Mm.
In Jesus' name. Thank
in
you, Lord,
Jesus
for your
name.
Servant for the word this day.
Mm.
We just thank you, Lord, for his
thank
faithfulness.
You,
and Father, we pray, Lord, he shall receive also a fresh and greater anointing.
Mm.
For your praise and for your glory, we ask
in
it, oh
Jesus'
God.
Name.
Thank you, Lord, for my brother.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Let us appreciate God. Let us appreciate God for today. Let us appreciate God.
Precious Jesus. It's a challenge. But we're not backing down.
No.
We will still believe. We will still believe God. Still believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I know Roy. Known him many years. Long time now. And he must be so frustrated at times. Because he could talk for England. In fact, if the Olympics had a talking competition, he'd have got the gold medal. Because he could have talked forever for Jesus. And you know, being as he is now, after this stroke, it must be so frustrating for him. And we've seen him at times so frustrated with it. But God's still there.
Amen.
The Spirit of God is still in his heart and his life and his mind.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we still believe him with you, Roy.
Amen.
We're still standing. I don't understand why. But I've got to walk by faith and I've got to believe by faith. And I've just got to keep believing and praying for you. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep praying every day, lifting you up before that throne and saying, thank you, God, for that healing. Thank you, God, for his speech. Thank you, God, that he can walk. And thank you, God, he's going to declare the word of the Lord. Amen. 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 and amen. Hallelujah. Just got to, you know, in one sense, it says in Scripture where the king said about this woman that kept coming and knocking, and he said, if I don't give her what she wants, you know, she's going to give me a black eye. She's tormenting me that much. And, you know, we need to, and I say this reverently, we need to torment God. We need to torment God and lift him to that throne room and believe God. You know, it's not for ourselves, but it's that Jesus will be glorified. Hallelujah. Amen. It's all about Jesus. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It's not about Harvest Fields. It's about Jesus. And when we make Jesus first and Lord, then let's watch for the miracles. I've been reading this last few days where the word says signs and wonders might follow the preaching of the gospel. Is that what it says? It says that, no, it says signs and wonders shall. Shall. There's no might in it. There's not a question mark there. It's a absolute statement of fact. Signs and wonders shall follow the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to his disciples, go out and preach the gospel. Go out and preach the gospel. Signs and wonders shall follow the preaching of the gospel. And you believe in signs and wonders. You've seen signs and wonders. And we're believing for your sign and for your wonder in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're not giving up. Whilst we have breath, we shall believe. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I want it restored. I want it restored in Jesus' name. And I'm not going to stop believing. Whilst there is breath, I'm not going to stop believing. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Jesus raised people from the dead when there was no breath. So come on, church. Get into this and get moving. You know, if it was you, you would want everybody there is to pray and to believe and to stand for you. Is that not true? Well, take up the call. Take up the torch, and it's not an Olympic torch, but it is the torch of the living God. Hallelujah. Whose light will never go out. Hallelujah. And has been lit from the beginning of eternity and shall stay lit to the end of eternity, if that ever can exist and it can ever be a true statement. But it shall always be. And Jesus said, I am the light of this world. Hallelujah. Like the light of God. And, you know, bring him before the Lord. Keep praying, you know. When I pray for the church, I see where you sit. I can see the seats. I've got a picture mind. So I sit and I see the church. And I see where you sit. And I pray for you. And I see Roy. And I pray for him. I know where you sit. I can see it, you know. It's like taking a photograph. Hold it up and pray down the line. I wake up in the early hours. Well, what have we got to do in the early hours? It's dark. If I turn the light on, I might wake Grace, so I pray. Devil, wake me up if you want. I'll pray. See God moving in power. Hallelujah. Sense the anointing in my own bedroom. The presence of God. Because he wants to change me and he wants to change you. And he wants to change people that we come into contact with. And you will. Are the lights of the world. And people will see and hear Jesus through you. Amen. Declare and believe the word of God. Hallelujah. Well, I know time has gone on, but we always break bread together, and we're going to come around the Lord's table, and we're just going to come in and just thank God for what he's given to us. This is the table of the Lord. And at this table, healing is available. This table is, it's not bread and wine. The word says, Jesus said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. So somehow by faith, when we partake of this bread, there is a miracle. There is a miracle that goes on. I'm not talking about what the Roman Catholics believe. I'm talking about there is a miracle that this bread gives life, supernatural life, to this mortal body. And that we drink of that cleansing blood. Don't argue with me about the statement. The Bible says, Jesus said it, unless you eat of this, of my body, and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. So we do it every week. Not once a month, not once a year. I need to be partaking of Jesus on a regular basis. Smith Wigglesworth used to do it every day. So to do it once a week is no hardship to me. It's no hardship to the church. But we need to do it with reverence and realization that this is a powerful place. This is an empowering part of the service as we come together. It's just as important as hearing the word, because we've heard the word, now we partake in of the divine life of Christ. And miracles can happen right now at this table. Do you believe that? He's a miracle working God. He's a miracle working Jesus. I don't understand it mentally, but I understand it by faith. I receive it by faith. I've received my healings by faith. I've never understood them, but I've received them by faith. Hallelujah. So, you know, receive it by faith and see God moving in power. Hallelujah.